And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I'm here. I'm looking for my headphones. Dang it, more wires. Oh, welcome to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nastream of Phoenix, .com. Okay, well, I better one as good as mine. So, all right, there are two stories I just want to, I'm just looking up what I was distracted. I'm like, man, it's getting. Two things. One, the Spanish court rejects Catalan independence resolution. All right. Now, Catalonia is a region of Spain that never, you know, it's kind of considered separate and different and, you know, than the rest of Spain, because Spain says, and you're ours and get over it. And they said, you know what, we want to be independent. So let's work on an independent thing. And they said, you know, the court ruling said the resolution adopted November 9th, and this is recently, by the Barcelona-based parliament violated five articles of the country's 1978 constitution, articles of the region's own statute, blah, blah, blah. They said, you know, we got a piece of paper right here that says that you can't make a piece of paper that says you don't get to be on our paper anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, so the people, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed. You're so not allowed. But, you know, the other thing is that Hawaii is trying to do the same thing. Hawaii wants to secede from the U.S. Now, the story of Hawaii is very interesting. It was a coup done by a general that United States of America there and kind of, you know what, and you're not in charge anymore and we rule you and get over it. And so that has not been forgotten. And the, I guess, the royal lineage family of the government of Hawaii, of not U.S., has decided, you know, we just, you know, we'd say your whole taking us over was illegal. Wow. That was a long time ago, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I would think Hawaii is a very important spot. You know, it'd probably be, you know, good idea to have some kind of dealings with somebody. But who do you want to deal with? You're going to have China put their navy in Pearl Harbor? You want the U.S.? You want nobody? You want a dome? I don't know. But I tell you, you know, this government thing is just starting to crack all over the place. So they go, yeah, you know, we'll protect your sovereignty if you pledge allegiance to we. Well, who's we? The international we rule you, you know. See if Patrick Wood will come on. Maybe tomorrow, if we got an opening tomorrow, because I want to talk to him about ALEC. American Legislative Exchange Council is going on. I'm, you know, because it's so close and because it's here, you know, there's something should be done. And I have, you know, a good friend of mine that is, you know, he loves putting flyers out on cars at the whatever. I'll tell you a secret. This is what we do. We've done this before. When we have something like this, an opportunity, that's why we have the printing press. That's why we have the T-shirt maker here. So we got the sign thing going. What we're going to do is what we did with the NRA back in 95, 96. They had their international Uber global thing here in Phoenix. And every single downtown hotel room got two flyers. You know, they were a trifold, 8.5 by 11 we printed up. One was, your gun, your rights, your vote. And the other one was the 12-step program to get off the NRA. Because they were so bad, doing so much stuff behind the scenes. Well, this Alec thing, I'm going, yeah, we got some good, you know, material that we need to, you know, I would just get like a postcard and put it underneath and just have a QR code going. We talked to Richard Grove, just have him go to the brain, you know, to his linkage has the American Legislative Exchange Council, and then it just goes to the history. And right, once they go on that one page and they start surfing that, damn, they get the history, they get who they're in bed with. How, but the fear is that, I mean, you know, I expect, is that a lot of them are going, good, look at the, you know, I'm on the evil top of the heap side of, I'm on this side. But there are a couple of people, you know, they don't know what they're dealing with. They don't get, and they're like, damn. And then all of them will be going, wow, somebody knows this stuff? You know, maybe it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture for us to something. So I'm just for, yeah, I'll help. Everybody wanted me to do something. Yeah, I do. You know, I'm going, you know, what am I going to do? And I go, you know, I know what to do. We'll just print up a bunch of these, you know, black on white. I don't care. You know, just, you know, black, you know, on flat white card that has a QR code and a title and, you know what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And you just start putting them under all the hotel rooms and done. You know, you take a crew of six guys, you can do a hotel in every floor in freaking 10 minutes. Boom, done. Under each door. Made you look. So we have a meeting this afternoon with a couple of guys that are going to be, you know, heading that up. And we got to do it today. It's got to be tonight or tomorrow morning, you know, because it's over tomorrow afternoon. Then this weekend, you know, a lot of these guys are going to their retreat of, oh, we get to shoot with Navy SEALs, Navy SEALs. I mean, Nick kept making a big deal, and Donna just got confirmation from Nick Dranius, you know, working on this thing, that and he can't make it, you know. But she was frustrated because he goes, God, man, can he just say yes or no? Well, I'm applying, I go, and I got this meeting. He goes, I don't know your itinerary. Does that mean yes, no? So she's been on his case. But so he's not going to be able to get on before. But go ahead and let him know that I want to talk to him after, though. You know, we'll do it next week, because that'd be just as good or better, you know, hear all about it. Oh, yeah, it was great, man. We got the, you know, before we took America from Americans, we got the, you know, go shooting with Navy SEALs, about 50 cow, woohoo! You know, it's just the way they've been trying to sell this thing. And I just can't muster up enough give a crap to go. I mean, it's not going to tell me, I mean, it's, you know, I am, you know, I would like to think that, you know, I can't be surprised anymore, but it's just, I am constantly surprised when I go to these things, you know, and meet with these people at how willing they are to sell their soul to be on the Christmas card list or to be part of something that they think is going to, they never stop and think and ask a question about the fundamentals of what they're doing. It's just they wrap it in a nice, pretty package. We're going to violate everybody's rights this way, and gosh darn it, if we ain't pretty in silk ties and have a smile and look at all those nice legs and cleavage and green fees. I mean, it's just, it's all packaging. You know, what's in the package, they're not even questioning. They don't even look at it. They don't even understand it. They have to, I'm telling you, it's educating our way out of this thing. There is no getting around it. There's no getting around it. And I'm just, we have to know. And that was the big pushback between me and Richard Grove when he first would come on. And there, he spent so much time on the history and the linkage and who and back and when. I'm going, yeah, now what? Now we know, you know, now what? Well, that's not his thing. And I can see as time goes on how important it is that what he does. He's like, look, you know, we just keep repeating all this stuff. We don't understand that we're being played all the time. You know, we need to know who the people are, the organizations, the methodology, what they're doing, the history. I'm going, yeah, for me, it was really simple. But I'm seeing that a lot of people don't think that way. I mean, it's so frustrating to me because to me, it was, I'm going, Are you? I go, it's like when you're running for office, and it's kind of, you streamline your thinking this way. Is this piece of legislation going to violate the life, liberty, and property of an individual? Yes or no? Yes, next. It's that simple. But they don't think that way. Well, how much, what's the benefit? And who and how, and I'm going to, you know, the proper role of government doesn't even cross their mind. So we need education.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, we're back, we're back, we're back. I was making coffee. I'm sorry. Well, you know, I guess, Donna should have warned me. The what she was asking, and Gina's in there posting, and she's going, wow, there's so many mass shootings. Do we have a category for that? You know, what category do we put it in? You know, and I'm going, gun rights. You know, and Donna puts it in the special edition, Second Amendment is for everyone. And if you go to the Second Amendment, Amendment is for Everyone edition, special edition. Let's go ahead and do that. I'll show you on the video. And what we do is Freedom's Phoenix is set up to have special editions. So what we do is we go, all right, we can go ahead and have like Ernie's Favorites. I can have Black Market Friday. We can do, what we got here? Like Fascist Nations Favorites. That's Pau Gamel. He's got some good stuff. Western Libertarian, Korean, blah, blah, blah. Wallet Voting, Aria Phoenix. Aria Phoenix is all the stuff that's happening in the Middle East. You know, like we have Turkey blockades Russian shipping. Black Fleet completely cut off. Now, we'll talk about that on Trump Report with Frank Tamburi. So what I want to do with that is, Frank, in the last 2 hours here on Trump Report Day, we're going to go ahead and talk about what's going on in Syria. But we have Haria means freedom in Arabic. Haria Phoenix is a special edition that we have that we translate into Arabic. So you go translate page, and you go Arabic. And it translates everything in Arabic. And we have an Arabic Facebook and an Arabic Twitter for, since Arab Spring. It's been like 5 years. So we have a lot of subscribers in different languages. So I'm going, it's kind of caveman talk, you know, the way it gets better and better all the time. And you hover over it and it tells you what the title is, you know, really. And they read right to left. So it's kind of, you know, funky layout here. But we have all these stories that have to do with what's going on in the Middle East, translated into Arabic. Now, when our first Twitter account blew up, man. It was like 2,300 followers in the first week or something. And it got shut off. And we changed just went and added an R to Haria or something like that and opened it again and boom, and that one stayed up. Because I made such a big deal about it. I'm going, golly, because when you need it the most, the information the most, when you need it the most, when you're in revolution the most, what happens? Oh, I'm sorry, you're not allowed. Oh, okay. Now, what the hell am I using you guys for? So that's why I keep going on about the next internet and us doing the back end and a lot of stuff. Derek's doing a lot of stuff right now and getting things, you know, we're going as fast as, you know, we all can because we, you know, we're like busy. So making progress. I just want progress. Maybe show me some progress. So we're getting progress. Now, the other thing that we do is you have the global edition. We go back to the global edition. Ooh, and what am I seeing here? Oh, at the top, 361 for Bitcoin, silver, 1412. When silver yesterday hit 1399, It went under 14, and Bitcoin, I think it was like, you know, 365 or something like that. I go, you know what? How much Bitcoin you got in your wallet, Donna? So we got another, I don't know, $500-something worth. Because when I took some silver and put it in the Bitcoin, it was like 270. And silver was, I don't know, $17, $18 at the time. So I, you know, made the conversion. Well, now I'm going back the other way. You know, now Bitcoin's $100 more than what it was, and silver's less. So I go, okay, I'll go back in the silver. I'll go back and forth, you know, as long as it's I think it's an advantage, I'll do it. If Bitcoin takes a dump and silver shoots up, I'm going to go, what shall I do? Yeah, I just, because I can't think, I'm not smart enough to invest. I know there may be better returns on the other, but $100 up per Bitcoin, you know, from, that's, you know, a good deal. You know, I made, you know, something. So I'm playing with that. Anyway, so you go to special editions at the top, and it goes down, and it has, we have special editions, see, Bitcoin Summit, U.S. Arizona, Ernie's Favorites, Revolution Continues, It's Not My Debt, yada, yada, yada. We get down to safe. Second Amendment is for everyone. Now, when I click on that, why would I put any of these things in these stories, these mass shootings, where would I put them? Well, it's all going to be about gun rights. You know, they're going to, oh my God, we had this big giant, somebody did and shot up, and kind of, where do we put it? Gun rights. Because, you know, for me, the problem is there weren't enough guns. You know, they came in and they just shot everybody, and they just sat there and got shot. And I'm going, you know, seriously, do we need Colombian drug lords every restaurant on the planet? Which is what happened in Paris. You don't hear about this one restaurant. Three guys got up, boom, 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 say hello to my little friend. They rack in their AK, go, I know that sound. They get up, boom. Now, what do they do to them? They arrested them and shipped them back to Colombia for extraditing on some drug charges or something. You know, so we'll follow up on that. But, you know, and we were going, is this true? Does this get planted? Well, Alessandro Fascio in Rome, he's going, yeah, it's all over in Spanish and French papers. But in English, you can't find it. Really? I wonder about German. Well, because he's a criminal defense attorney in Rome and has offices there and in Berlin and Madrid, Spain. So he's got, you know, it's time to talk to him about Catalonia. Where's Donna? Donna, talk to Alessandro about doing, coming on talking about Catalonia and Spain. I'm sure he has an opinion about that. That'd be interesting. So this is, you know, the kind of things that we're dealing with. Where would we put this stuff? But as it accumulates, safe, Second Amendment is for everyone.com and safegunowners.com. And we have, you know, safe, Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe legislator or congressman? Well, this is why, with all these mass shootings, will we put it in gun rights? Because how do you stop a mass shooting? Probably with a gun. When I go out, we went to see, you know, Mockingjay, or, you know, we go out to see whatever. My thing is, you know, I'm going, God, do I want that? You know, it's a Kel-Tec 9mm 7/8 shot, little go in your pocket with a clip on your belt of kind of, I can just have it clipped in my pocket and quick draw if I wanted to kind of thing. Or I just, you know, slip it into my pocket, nobody sees and whatever. And, you know, and it's nothing. It's just like, you know, taking a pocket knife. And when we went, oh, you'll like this. When we went to see a cover band called Tribute 1964, what it was a cover of the Beatles music since 1964. I mean, from 1964. And I'm going, God, well, I probably can't get wanted or make it in with my gun. I in the car. But what about my pocket knife? Yeah, I just leave that pocket knife there. And I made it. He did the cursory kind of flip. Yeah, you know, whatever, and go. And I'm just, you know, being disarmed. I'm not a good idea. Especially this time when everybody's wanting to take your goodies around Christmas time in the parking lot. You know what I mean? We'll be right back.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading on Wednesday, gold is down $10 at $10.60 per ounce. Silver is 10 cents lower at $14.13 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $357. Use the coupon code PEACEONEARTH at checkout and help support antiwar.com. Buy silver and support peace at the same time. Call Roberts & Roberts at 800-874-9760 or online at rrbi.co.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Yeah, Patrick Wood, we need to get him on. You know, you have that off now spot that you hear radio advertisements. They did a lot on LRN here. They bought, I can't remember the name of the group. It was it Michael Bolton? You know, was part of the, you know, he's an anarchist of I don't like government kind of guy. I'm doing anyway, it goes, it, you know, I hate to say them in the same, you know, because this NSA off now is an offshoot of that. One of the guys that worked with Michael on that. So it's just, you know, give us money and we'll whatever. And so the whole thing is, you know, anti-surveillance and Snowden, you know, pointed, see, and we're going to stop them. There's so much. We're being manipulated. Bring it on. You know, they want to come talk, you know, we shall. This is how, you know, you don't get sponsors. They'll say, no, you get no, hell no. And, you know, the gazillions of money is coming from the do and will infiltrate here and kind of make them part of and get the Liberty community on. That's not how I operate. We'll get in more in, God, I hate doing this. There is a plan, and I'll tell you what, there's a club and we ain't in it, all right? And it's all going to come down to constitutional convention. I'm telling you, everything that you're seeing, it's going to be a refi on America. They're going to try and couch it in. It's going to be the solution to and those freaking spendthrift damn Democrats and whatever. You know, there. It's like, okay, I'll give you an example. The right would love for Hillary Clinton to get elected. They would freaking just waller in it and smear and kind of, you know, at the higher levels of these different organizations. And I'll give you an exact reason why. It's like the NRA. The NRA loves gun control legislation because it gets them crap loads of money. There is a, you got everything's going well and you're having gun rights and they're liberalizing the ability to carry and kind of whatever, and nobody gives them money. There's no controversy. There's nothing, you know, going on. There's not there. You know, it's like, I give you so many examples. And over the years of this, I'm just, wow. We even went so far, they had G. Gordon Liddy speaking along with Charlton Heston in the mid-90s. They had the event here when the NRA came and did their national convention downtown the Phoenix Civic Center. And we put flyers and, you know, pamphlets and everything under all the hotel rooms. They went into executive session 17 times to stop debate. People go, hey, what is this true? You kind of got, boom, executive session. Then they start back up again. Boom, executive session. They go, no, we're not going to be talking about this 17 times. Feel me? I got approached. I give you a good example how it works in politics. There was a guy, a young man. He was a black man, lived in South Phoenix, and he was an activist in the black community there. And they were, you know, economic development there and so on. And whatever. One of the guys that wound up, you know, funding him, and he started getting into rights, and who do you go to? The Libertarian Party, you know, as chairman and so on. And then I had my restaurant, and I'm just kind of, you know, I'm helping and so on, and they needed my help and helping buys and skip to the end on this, and this is what the issue was. It was an adult entertainment play. It was a stripper club or a topless, whatever. And they had been getting rousted by the county attorney. They were making, oh, I'm a good Christian soldier, and we're just going to, you know, do any and everything to hassle anybody coming out, anybody going in. I mean, Jenna Jameson, a famous porn star, had a club in Scottsdale. They were really going off on her, too. So this became a big deal. Well, all of a sudden they're going, what can we do? There's got to be something we can do. And this one guy is coming to us and offering all kinds of things. Will you go to this meeting with us? So there were two meetings. One was at one of the clubs. It was the Penthouse Club. It was really nice. They go up in the VP room, like, you know, having a meeting. You know, we get up there and kind of, you know, have any of the girls or anything. But, you know, we're up there in the conference room. And you have the glass wall kind of looking down from the boys, you know, and having their meeting and see the club. And there was that one. And then there was another one at a buffet, you know, in the an afternoon. And from this, the first one with the guys, here, you know, what their problems were. And then we went and had a meeting with the lobbyist. Well, this is what happened. The meeting that I got in, you know, it was in the evening, like 9, 10 o'clock or something, you know, when they were there at the club. And a lot of the club owners and everybody, they go in there and we had a conversation. They work at night. They sleep in the morning. During, I mean, by the time they get up, hell, they're not even done till, you know, 3, 4 in the morning or something. So by the time they even get up in the afternoon, heck, legislation got passed, stuff got done, news was made, whatever. And they're like, what the hell just happened? They got guys showing up with badges or whatever, or clipboards and, you know, shiny badges. You know, they're in a totally different time frame that they don't even know what's going on politically. You know, they're not keeping track of the story. You know, they don't care. You know, and then, you know, and of course, the staff and the girls and everything, they're just in a totally different world. They're trying to ignore this. So here comes, you know, see, you got a problem here. You know, I can solve this for you. I'm lobbyist de la what you call it. All you put in some money, pay me $75,000, you know, for the project, and I'll fix it for you. Okay, so then they're like, what's going on? So this guy, this young man that was in South Phoenix, knew libertarian philosophy, is libertarian, and he, you know, knew to call the party. Somebody help me here. What the heck's going on? I don't really have an understanding. It's not, there's no logic here. So within two meetings, I got a beat on it. I could see what was going on. You go to the second meeting. It's at a buffet by one of the malls or so on. There's probably 30 people in there, and there's some of the girls and so on. And I'm sitting here listening to this guy, and he's bragging about how he plays golf with the other side. You have different lobbyists so on representing the, you know, Christian community of the moral of we need to get more Republicans elected. What's really going on? So I'm going, okay, you guys see what's going on here, right? I just want to make sure you understand. You know, he's bringing access. I got the other side. We can organize. He goes, yeah, we can keep it down. We can bring down the tone. We can bring down, you know, the rhetoric. We can kind of, you know, we can have a detente. We can coexist together. And we kind of, if you just work through us lobbyists, and we'll, and when one side gets a little, you know, oh, the other side comes up and it's opposition, and it's just, we keep the rhetoric up here for the politicians and the people and everything, but we all get to do business. You just got to pay. And I'm going, you see, you guys are being shaken down. I tell them right in front of me, I go, you're in a shakedown. This is what they're offering you. You go, they're going to go, and him and the other lobbyists on both sides will create controversy so that they can have something to make money on. Gun rights do the same thing. They're just like, you know, hey, man, the other side, we got to have in the protest and back. Ooh, it's not getting real good. We need to do some more. Kind of, they, Bob Dole, that brought in the Brady Bill in like Christmas time or something. That was at the It's Okay by the NRA. John Kyle, that was our U.S. Senator here for Arizona in the U.S. Senate, as a congressman that year in 94, voted for the crime bill, the assault weapons ban, and got an A-plus rating by the NRA. Who the hell makes this shit up? You know, I'm going, why did you? I go, are you kidding me? Oh, we were real buttheads about that. Welcome to Gun Banner Barbecue, circling an NRA thing with G. Gordon Liddy and Charlton Heston in the airplane going round and round. And as people coming in, we're taking pictures. For the opposition? No! We got gun rights stuff on. I mean, you want to play? You know, Zeke Kyle, when he did it, swastika dripping red kind of Kyle running for Senate. Zeke Kyle! I mean, we faxed that out, but we're being buttheads. They don't come to Arizona anymore. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened, the adult entertainment thing, and how we stopped it. I mean, nipped it in the bud. Said, you guys want to stop this crap? I'll show you how to stop it. You want to just you just want to go back to making money and doing your business? You want to just stop it? You want to get these guys off your ass right not later? I'll show you how. Boom! Like that. Stick around. I'll tell you how we did it.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah, I got to break free. Okay, okay, I got to show you, I got to show you, I got to show you. All right, the new book we're going to be talking next week, the Vince Soprinowitz, the Miskatonic Manuscript, all right? And I opened it up yesterday, my grandkids, what is that? Oh, it's a book from my friend, and it has, like, naked girls and dinosaurs on the front. And they go, what's that? I have no idea. Naked girls and dinosaurs. It's about what Vin has done is he has this, the other book, The Testament of James, you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix, is that he's having a series of books now, you know, and it's from a used book dealer, and it's about always about books. And so, and this is like, what if you, the bottom line is, what if you had a drug war and somebody fought back? You know, you have people that have been studying and doing in their, you know, Catholic church banned by the federal drug warriors for employing holy sacraments that actually work. I mean, you know, just to mention kind of, you know, science and stuff. There's a part in here about, I haven't got into it yet, but it's about what happened in Siberia in 1908 or something. You know, the forest, like a meteor hit or something, and the forest just laid waste. He goes, yeah. That was a Tesla experiment that did kind of, ooh, really? So I'm looking forward to talking about that and, you know, and reading that. Then I got in the mail, I get to the, you know, the what I was going to talk about, and I promised. And I got in the mail, you know, somebody sent me a nice shirt, a revolutionary shirt, you know, as the logo said, so we'll talk about that. You know, I just want to, you know, thanks for the gifts, and we'll get to them. In the first hour, Donna's putting this up. Integrity in Radio still exists with Freedom's Phoenix. And this was the 10th Amendment Center. That's what I was trying to think of. Michael Bolden. I did a show, and it, and I remember it was, yeah, 10th Amendment Center. It was, I had Kelly Ward on. She's a state senator here. She's running for McCain's seat now. And I had her on as a favor to Campaign for Liberty and so on. And she blah, 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 con. And I'm like, what? You know, how do you know? Well, you know, 10th Amendment Center, you know, said, you know, it's they, you know, they like me, and I do the off now NSA, you know, thing when I was getting started. And one of the guys that worked with Michael at 10th Amendment Center kind of split off the off now, the NSA surveillance issue of whatever. So I'm just going, ah, I see the connection now. And the point that I was making, and it wasn't clear to them, so I retracted. I go, you know, I'm not saying the 10th Amendment Center is for a con, or at least not publicly. And I'm going, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the 10th Amendment Center, they get and identify, and we get legislators, and yeah, we're on board. Oh, and by the way, here's this off now NSA thing, anti-NSA thing, that, you know, kind of we're working with and buddies with and so on. And through that, and the people that talk to them, and we want a constitutional convention. So how close is the connection there? I don't know. I mean, that's not my point. My point was is that Kelly Ward made it straight up clear to me that the people that were behind Off Now, which is, you know, same guys are close with the 10th Amendment Center, they are in support of a con. That's what she told me. It's on the radio, in the archive, blah, 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 blah. I've had conversations with Kelly Ward. She's here at different freedom events. She's really playing up the libertarian, you know, Ron Paul, revolutionary kind of, you know, I'm not McCain thing. And I talked to her, talked to her mother, spent time, hours with her, just discussing. I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, you know, it's just, hey, well, how else are you going to? I'm not. I don't care. I mean, you know, this is not where it's, you know, whatever. So we understand each other very well, along with a bunch of other people, groups of a dozen, and I said my piece, and I'm good, and I'm going out here by the fire. So the they were on my case. You need to make it clear. Not a problem. So I wrote this article. It's on the first hour. 10th Amendment Center does not support a constitutional convention, okay? So what we got in here is a quote. Yep, we're glad, Ernie. You know, thank you for kudos to Ernie, you know, for making this mistake and clear and kind of whatever. You know, a lot of people have, additionally, while we know some people out there would like to do damage to the Constitution via a full con-con. Now, see, they're using word. What about a non-full con-con? What about one? And you see, I can see we certainly do not. And while we acknowledge that many people friendly to our work are in support of an amendments convention, we focus our efforts on a different strategy, nullification. So this is, you know, it's so while we acknowledge and, you know, a full con-con and amendments in the plural. I mean, I'm just seeing, you know, I don't like these kind of fuzzy words, but what I did, and they wrote the article, I mean, it's several pages. I went at it. I go, nope, absolutely. This is what happened. This is what was said. Here's the link to the show. This is at the time that it said it. This is what I was thinking. This is the continuity. A lot of stuff that we were talking about yesterday. It gave me an opportunity to educate the people that were in both of these organizations. I go, don't think I don't know what's going on. Okay? My opinion was this. They are taking this NSA Off Now thing as a cover. The people that are for against the NSA over here, see, the Liberty community, we love them. We got advertising on LRN. We got advertising. We got, you know, Scott Horton reading the thing. We got. We're on board. We're invested. We're in. Got the money into the system, people and the names and endorsing and saying. You know what I'm going? Okay. And the people that endorse this and legislators that say it, they're part of it because they're on NSA Off Now thing. I mean, they're good. And they support a con-con. Okay? So if you look, I guess all I got to do is scratch the surface. All of these state legislators that are being endorsed by, part of, I'm with, you know, yeah, NSA is bad. That's an easy freaking one. Are you kidding me? Okay? So NSA is bad. Oh, yeah. But they support a con-con. Well, it's a limited kind of just a one issue, a 24-hour convention. It'll be just a balanced budget kind of, you know, it's a different kind of, you know, it's cover for that, in my opinion. Okay? This is, I mean, and every time I scratch, well, I get challenged. Like, all right, well, let's scratch the surface. Yep. More evidence. All right, or you, what about, yep. More supporting evidence. So you're going to find out in this 2016 election cycle, here's the Ernie prediction. There is going to be a big push for Off Now, this anti-NSA. And it's just to turn off the water at the Utah server facility for the NSA's servers to do it as if that's going to stop their surveillance. I mean, you know, seriously. So anyway, so we'll see, you know, yeah. And so legislators that are in support of that, you know, yeah, you know, we're against the NSA. Oh, we tried, you know, whatever. Take a look. And see, everyone that is on that list, find out if they're for even a limited constitutional convention. They're going to say it's going to be limited. That's their thing now. You know? That's why we're going to be talking to Nick Dranius next week. So this is my, I'm just, you know, All right, real quick on the adult entertainment thing, how we stop the lobbyists and stuff. I've got a minute or two, and I'll do it real quick. Here I said, you want to stop this. Let me tell you how you stop it. You need 15,000 registered voters in a particular, you file with five people. You have a chair, a vice chair, a treasurer, secretary, a member at large, as the law was then, and you register as a new party with the Secretary of State. You get 15,000 signatures or something, boom, you got ballot status. If you get 15,000 or 20,000, whatever, registered voters for that new party, all of a sudden you're a ballot status party and you can run, you know, pretty little topless girls for whatever position you want. And I go, and you need almost no signatures to get on the ballot. I mean, you know, now they're changing these laws for just this reason. They just changed it. Now it's in a court action and so on. But, you know, I'm going, look, all you got to do, you get, you know, five of you club owners, somebody, you go down, you file. And you get, you know, say, here we go. How long would it take your entertainers at your clubs on one weekend to get people to sign a petition or for them to register as and protect and whatever? Immediately they go, we'll call it the entertainment and tourism party or something like that. They're going, entertainment and tourism party. Heck yeah, we'll do that. And we could run whatever can. We just get on the ballot and we can scream freedom all we want. Guy go, yes, you can. And I go, and I guarantee you won't have to do squat, but even announce or have a single meeting, or God forbid you even need to go file. You do that, and I guarantee they will shut the F up. Boom! Problem solved. And I'm going, you guys want to play? Let's play. You want to get at all these adult areas, and then the liquor guys will start coming in, and then some other tourism stuff will come in. Heck, you know, Bitcoin tourism now is coming, you know. So I'm just going, it's a freedom thing. And if you go out, you're killing the entertainment industry here. We got Super Bowls coming in, and you're going to take away all the adult entertainment? Seriously? What do you think? It's all 12-year-olds that go to Super Bowls? So they go, yep. We're going to fight back. And man, they backed off then. They said, wait. We're not that Christian. So I'm just going, you guys want to play? I know how to play. And we're going to be playing with some more signs that are coming. I'm, you know, I got to do this. Yeah, Freedom, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Get some. Why? Well, somebody's got to do it, man. You know, but inside the political, no. It's public opinion. It's just public opinion. Where I play. We'll be right back. Trump Report. Dr. Frank Tambury.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare.
My truck didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
But Frank's on time, so I can't use that.
Yeah.
I had it already, man. I'm just knowing it wasn't my fault. But he made it, even though he had a flat tire on his motorcycle. And he's like, you know, and he switched out and he made it. So, like, damn it. That was going to have me some fun. And, you know, but I was so built. He goes, you look disappointed. I go, I am. I was, because I knew he'd walk in right about the time as he got in, like a whole minute or two before. All right. So, Trump report. There's a lot of news, a lot of stuff going on. We've had a lot of stories. I'm like, man, we got cut back on the story, but there's so much stuff. You know, that's the biggest complaint I get on the dispatch. You're like, damn, Ernie, seriously, 50 things a day? I mean, you know, I just scan it. It's done in a way. You scan the headlines, I get it. And every, ooh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about Turkey freaking closing the straits through where the Black Sea goes into the Mediterranean. You know, that is one, Istanbul. Now, which is now what? Istanbul, I guess. I mean, it was Constantinople.
Constantinople. Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm. Constantinople, which was the Eastern Empire, the Russian, I mean, the Russian.
Roman.
It's close. You know, the Roman Empire kind of, you know, was
Emperor Constantine, there, yeah.
Which is where the Council of Nicaea came from, which is where the Holy Bible was written. You want to know where the Bible was written? It was by a Roman emperor. That's who wrote it. You know, they came in. No, it was government approved, though. Don't worry about it. You know, there's Romans 13 in there. You know, you got to, you know, pay homage to
it's
the government.
Actually fascinating to learn. They went through and they had to figure out which gospels stayed in, which ones didn't. There was the gospel according to Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew. Those were eventually now we know as the synoptic gospels. Those are the ones that were finally approved at the meeting of Nicaea. But the kicker was there was all sorts of other gospels. The gospel according to Mary Magdalene, the gospel according to Thomas.
No, that one.
And they went through and they basically decided which ones created the narrative.
Canonized them.
They canonized and they threw out a bunch. And of course, through the years, we have found these gospels and we've actually dated them to the same time. So there were all sorts of stories, but they became so fractured because they're all around the Middle East around that time. And ultimately, and some believe it was actually the descendants of Jesus, because he did have a brother. It was Jesus's brother was, I believe, James. Yeah, sorry, James, the brother of Jesus.
And well, you have Ben Soprano, which is another book, The Testament of James. Yeah, that's what that's about.
Exactly. And so they got together in the family, and I'm not trying to be desecration on the religion, but this is just a historical fact that the family, you know, had a lot of pull. And they got together, and there was a lot of infighting between the faction of James and Jesus' descendants, against Paul the Apostle.
And
Paul,
the Pope and all that Catholic church.
And all this went together. And eventually they said, look, we need to find a way to standardize. It was sort of like Common Core.
Exactly.
It was Common Core religion.
Let's get
the foundation. Oh my gosh. That's exactly what it was. And they went in a cigar smoked room and they got together in Nicaea.
With robes.
And they decided which gospels are thrown out, which ones were in. And that was it. And they closed the book, no pun intended.
It was mid 90s before I even knew this existed. And I'll tell you how it happened. Mm-hmm. We accumulate, you know, Bibles. I mean, you know, they're laying around, you know, whatever. I usually would have one in the car. You know, I'd have it in the passenger front seat little pocket thing there, you know, like Mike Wasden or, you know, some, you know, atheist friends. What the heck is this toilet paper doing? Oh, my God. I say, hey, there's a lot of wisdom. Open a page. Because that's right. You know, whenever I'd be indecision or something, kind of, you know, or just, I've read them through before. There's a lot of wisdom in there, especially in the New Testament. But I go like this. I just open, read a pen, okay, and it kind of sparks a thought or inspiration to something. And so I'm going, all right, one Bible that I had, I was doing a card. It was a birthday or Christmas card or something to a friend of mine. And I just opened up there, and I go, this is kind of a, you know, cool quote. So I put it in there, and it's whatever the book was, and I didn't recognize it, but I'm not, you know, I remember, like, my sister, man, she knows I'm all in order, and, you know, from, you know, Genesis to Revelation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I quoted this one book, I put it in there, sent it the card to him, he goes, what the hell is this? Where'd you get this quote? There's no book of whatever. And I go, really? It's in the Bible. I pulled it out, and I go, and he goes, that's the Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Bible is different. Okay, if he includes the Apocrypha, or I don't know if it's Catholic or not, or anyway, there are Bibles that include these left out books. Okay, and then I started reading some of them. I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, I can see why they took it out. It was very negative. You know, a lot of the stuff that I read, it was kind of, you know, is more Old Testament-y. You know, it's kind of more the tradition. That's why they had the New Testament. It was kind of, you know, it's a different flavor. We're going to focus on the positive. It's the, you know, it's kind of like the Ron Paul versus the rest of politics. It's still politics, but it's Ron Paul politics, you know, that kind of thing. You could see it in here. And I'm going, who the hell decided this? How did this happen? When was this done? They did not tell me about this in Bible study, man. I mean, what the hell? Council of Nicaea. It was when the big giant, it's like Bitcoin, we need to have, you know, the line on the IRS form that says how much money and profit I made or lost from Bitcoin, and I put it here in the government approval of wide adoption. Well, the wide adoption of Christianity as a religion was Constantinople, which was the Eastern Roman Empire in Constantinople. Right. The government finally adopted Christianity. Can't beat them, join them. Okay? So they go, but we got to have a state-approved official, you know, going forward religion of the right book to say the right stuff of being right, and not, you know, everybody do revolution and, you know, Jesus rebel thing.
You know, it's interesting, but politics with this, and I always love coming on this show because you never know what we're going to open with. But, you
we'll
know,
get to Trump.
We'll get to Trump next week. But, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the Romans, of course, obviously persecuted the Catholics or the Christians at the time. Before they were known as Christians, they were just called Jews. I mean, they were part of what was called the Jesus movement, because their followers of Jesus were not just Jews, they were super Jews. You got to keep in mind, Jesus was he was like the Malcolm X of their day.
Yeah, he was the savior,
He was angry because basically the Pharisees at the time, which became rabbis, but the Pharisees, he thought they were sellouts because they were capitulating with the Romans. They were going along with the Romans to get along. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, you guys are allowing Roman guards in the temple, the holy temple? There's one temple for the one God, and you want Romans to be patrolling the streets there? And so Jesus was really a ticked off Jewish individual.
You know, that's
with
what the
principle.
Money changers thing was all about.
Yeah,
overturning,
yeah.
Because they made it official. You had to have the right currency or the right dove to sacrifice or the right whatever. Mm-hmm. And this exchange, everybody's getting a cut off of it. And he's going, you central banking sons of bitches.
Yeah,
man.
He was angry. And so he wound up.
That was the only time he got. I remember him getting mad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, oh, yeah? I mean, he actually did property damage in my house kind of thing. You know, how did we get before the end of the segment? The reason we brought this up is Constantinople, Istanbul is in the news again. Because I'm going, there is a small strait. We got a NATO country there that it is where the Black Sea connects to the Mediterranean. Well, the Russian fleet is in the Black Sea, and the Mediterranean goes into Syria. So I'm going, oh, that nobody treat. No, 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 you never close. No, you can't. No, that'd be an act of war. You can't. Turkey closed it. They go, Russian warships can't go in. It's a blockade against. I'm going, that's an act of war.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Nat King Cole, man, for Christmas. All right. You know, we were Keith was on. We were talking about, we went to our Beatles tribute band
That's
thing.
Right.
That was fun. You know, there was a notice up there that Johnny Mathis is coming. And I'm going, wow, that would be cool. Going, yeah, he's kind of past it. You know, he takes his walker out on stage kind of thing. I'm wondering, you know, how long is this guy going to go? So maybe we're better off just get the album, you know. But the, that made me think of that. But the shooting that's going on, this is going to get heavily political today.
Yep.
And you can expect that. But one thing that's interesting, one of the stories we have up on Freedom's Phoenix, breaking. SWAT team drill turns into real mass shooting scenario in San Bernardino, California. There just happened to be a SWAT team nearby training for this. And then, look what happened. You know, it's like, Yeah, it's like, you know, the tube station in London thing, or they're doing the drill thing 9/11. It's kind of weird, you know. I just, you know, it's kind of weird. But go ahead and tell me what you told me off air. You had some kind of narrative on this thing.
First of all, I know most of you listen to this on the archive. So by the time you hear this, a lot of this might be just archaic and old hat. But basically, from what we know a little bit here, and I have some clips with Rand Paul that was actually he was interviewed by Fox this morning, which was nice, I have to say. You know, him being the so-called he's a non-interventionist, but you know, they paid him out different. We'll play that. But anyway, the point is that they thought there were three shooters that went and randomly shot up this place. It's a social worker building for the handicapped in California. Figures they pick a place in California. Social workers, I'm not trying to make a cheap shot here, but, you know, more liberal, and probably if there's one place, you know, you're not going to get any resistance of firearms, a bunch of social liberals.
Well, we're showing
in
right
California.
Here for the video.
And there's a video, yeah.
Yeah, we're showing, it's like a bunch of disabled people in wheelchairs, and having a Christmas party, and a social worker and volunteer, and they all, it's a good
it's very
photo
sweet.
Op.
Yeah, it's really, it's,
we're there dancing with them and so on. Oh, look how much fun we're having with these people who don't have any fun.
Yeah, and it's really a shame, too. I have to be honest. I mean, I did my residency in, you know, in facilities like that, and, you know, as patients, it was a fantastic experience. So it kind of hits me hard as a doctor as well. But in any case, supposedly, they thought three people came and shot it up. The government has been extremely quiet about what the problem is. This thing is politically supercharged for a number of reasons, because if this really is a terrorist attack, you know, this flies right in the face of Obama, who just a few weeks ago said, you know, we have ISIS under control, nothing to see here. And then when the Paris attack happened, well, that's different. And well, that was over there. And well, this and well, that. And it was not over here. And then, of course, you know, ISIS, we played that video. That really interesting Star Wars ISIS video last time, and they're saying, bring it on, we're all ready. You know, you guys have no idea, the storm's just getting started. And then this happens. So immediately, the government starts spinning it as, oh, well, it's not a terrorist attack. And then they said, well, it's domestic terrorism. And well, it's local, because the person was an American. Well, who? Well, they wouldn't tell us.
The two suspects, male and female, have been identified as 28-year-old Saeed Farouk, born in the United States, and female, 27-year-old
his wife,
Tashfeen Malik. According to the Associated Press, the San Bernardino police chief said that the two had a relationship, possibly married or engaged.
So what we know is, that's how they start spinning it again. Now his name came out last night. They tried to hide that. And then with his name, they're making assumptions. Well, maybe he was a terrorist or from ISIS. And the government keeps trying to not get into it. Now, there's two points. One is, you definitely want to be fair. You don't want to come out accused of someone and something they haven't done and worry people. At the same time, there is obviously, again, this politically charged environment, because Obama and the liberals have all backed him about allowing all these Syrian refugees into this country. We're fighting over that right now during an election year while the primaries are going on, and this happens. So there's so much political weight and drama over the revelation of who these people are. What we do know so far, as far as we know, this is fact. Again, it's still in motion. The official press conference is going to be on in about an hour or two, so a lot of this might be changed. But here's what we know so far, is that it was not three shooters, it was two, and one of them was a woman. And then it turns out it was a young man and a young woman, who the woman supposedly was his wife, or we'll find out wherever the relationship was. As we find out, though, yes, the gentleman was he shot people, he's an animal, but anyway, this guy is an American, I guess from California. Turns out he was a normal guy doing regular job. I think maybe went to college, who knows. But all of a sudden, here's the pattern. He went to Egypt about 6 months ago. And then he comes back with a Middle Eastern bride that was from the Middle East, and she got pregnant. I think they had a son. Maybe it was like a year ago when he came back. I can't remember, a year or 6 months. He starts growing his beard all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden he goes in during a Christmas party. I suppose it was a Christmas party, and shoots everybody up. And the two of them. So obviously this woman knew about guns. I'm sure she didn't just learn on the job. You know, she obviously probably had a background. And the two of them start shooting with semi-assault weapons here. And after they were done, the first round, they were all organized. They dropped the magazines and then threw another magazine in. They were very organized about how many that they did. After the second or third round of magazines, then they both got together and went off organized into the car and took off. The question is, though, they didn't seem to have an escape plan. I mean, they left in the car, but so far that we know, they didn't really take off that far. They just kind of hung around or were easy to catch, which makes you wonder, maybe they were expecting to die.
They had a meeting with their FBI informant guy.
So anyway, guys, I apologize. Everything I said is wrong by the time you hear this, but that's as current as we know, as of just about half an hour ago. So
you know, what was that? You know, this is the first time I can't remember his name. What was the alleged assassinator of JFK?
Well, it was... you got me here. No, it was Ruby who shot Oswald.
Oswald.
Yeah.
Okay. What was Oswald's first name?
I kept thinking Booth, but that was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Oswald.
James Oswald. Was it James?
No.
Why? God, the time was... Why are we on the radio? How are you figuring...
I can't... You know, what's interesting is that I can't remember the guy's name. Oswald. Ruby Oswald. Oswald.
Jack Ruby. And then... what's something in the coffee here?
I know. I'm sitting here thinking
You guys on the radio are yelling at us. You're yelling at us.
It's a brainwave thing. They're freaking messing us up, you know, but it's not going to stop me from saying it. Yeah. Anyway, Oswald was the same kind of M.O., he left. He went somewhere for a while. He came back, and then this happened. Mm-hmm. He went to Russia. He comes back. It's like he went to Egypt. He comes back. There was a wife involved, Russian wife, huh? You know, now Russian. We have a Muslim wife. You know, it's kind of... I'm going, I've seen this pattern before. You know, Donna, what was Oswald's name?
Lee Harvey.
Lee Harvey. Thank you. She came running in here to write it down. She's like, God, these people, you know. And Lee Harvey, and it's always a middle name. Whenever it's an assassin, they always got their middle name. You know, it's...
They always had the Republicans, Barack Hussein Obama. That's probably why they always had to push that.
I know, that was like a gift, you know. So this is... that's one thing I like, you know, seeing in 08. You know, race and name and ethnicity and all that. Mm. Just the younger people, they just don't care. You know, but is it like stereotyping? They're playing us? Are we being played here? There's something, and all I can think of, there wasn't enough guns. Somebody in a wheelchair needed to have a gun.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
So basically, we have the Trump update, and basically understand Trump. It's just like Rocky, and so we'll use this as our theme song. We have another Trump report of a number of factors. It's been Trump under attack all week. Basically, it started off with the issue of him seeing Muslims cheering when 9/11, when the buildings fell, and the media saying he was racist, the bigot for that. And over this past week, they found those videos that supposedly people were cheering, you know, at that. So on top of that, we have Marco Rubio attacking him, saying that he's going to be weak on on ISIS. On top of that, which is extremely important, you have Jeb Bush making a frontal assault as far as image.
Exactly.
Jeb, his last name's not Bush, right? And so all of a sudden, you're seeing Bush. Bush now is wearing a tie. All this time, he's been downplaying his image. He's been wearing a tie now of late. Fascinating. He keeps changing his image, trying to second guess what Trump does. And then at the same time, most profound, this past week, we have the Senate, a hidden letter that was sent out to all the senators, telling the senators, what if Donald Trump wins the nomination? How are we going to deal with this problem? This has been amazing. A seven-page letter saying that it's possible he could win. And here's these Republicans telling them, other senators in secret, how we can manipulate the system, how we can ride his coattails if, God forbid, he wins. All of this has been happening. This thing was leaked. It's been all on the Washington Post and others. I'm going to try and read some clips from it, you know, coming up. But it's been...
Of course it was leaked.
Yeah, of course it was leaked. I couldn't believe it. It's oh no, wait, don't turn up. It's almost up. This is his theme. This is what he's been dealing with all week, Trump. He has also as far as the as far as this letter, he has to respond, and he will respond well. I think ultimately it shows him versus the establishment. So he's going to duck, he's going to weave, he's going to jive, he's going to move around, and I'm telling you, he will take the establishment down. You moved the song.
Well, I didn't think you were going to end in time.
I know exactly how it ends.
All right, there we go. I got it. You did it. You the man. All right. So this is what's just happened in what, last few days?
Yeah, this is the past week.
Okay, let's go back to Freedom's Phoenix. And I want to this Muslim dancing thing. You know, because I don't care, you know.
Muslim dancing?
Yeah, the 9/11 deal. Trump is right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go, Trump is right. You know, I'm wondering, you know, I haven't seen this yet. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and I'll just, you know, play whatever.
Continue there with the crater and all that destruction downtown.
Upon President Bush's return to the White House today from Camp David, he vowed to get the evildoers, saying that they made a terrible, terrible mistake in assuming that the U.S. would not take immediate action. Pablo Guzman is here now with the latest on the investigation. We have arrests and arrest warrants. Pablo?
Todd, Dana, step by step, it happens. Now, most of you know that yesterday the FBI raided an apartment in Jersey City where two men lived who were pulled off a train in Texas and are now back in New York being held in connection with Tuesday's attacks. Ayub Ali Khan, 51, and Muhammad Jawi Asma, 47, taken off the train they had boarded after their flight out of Newark, like every other flight in America, was ordered down after the attacks in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. However, what no one outside the terrorist task force knows is that just a couple of blocks away from that Jersey City apartment the FBI raided yesterday and where they had evidence removed is another apartment building. One that investigator told me, quote, is swarming with suspects. Suspects who I'm told were cheering on the roof when they saw the plane slam into the Trade Center. Now, police were called to the building by other neighbors and found eight men celebrating, six of them tenants in the building. The FBI and other terrorist task force agencies then arrived, and the older investigators on the task force recalled that they had been to this building before, 8 years ago, when the first World Trade Center attack led them to Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, whose Jersey City mosque lies between the two buildings getting attention today. And the older investigators remembered that suspects who eventually got convicted for the first Trade Center case, followers of Sheikh Rahman, lived in the building where these same eight men were celebrating the destruction that they saw from the roof. Calling this a hot address, the task force investigators ordered everyone detained. And they saw something else, a model of the Trade Center on the roof, along with sets of binoculars, the kind of model used by an architect or an engineer for a presentation, an investigator told me. They knew, he said, that the planes were going to hit, and they wanted a ringside seat. Remember, part of what motivates Osama bin Laden against the United States, he has told followers, is that the United States put Sheikh Rahman in jail. Bin Laden has said that for that, the U.S. must pay. Yeah.
Pablo, it's absolutely chilling, the fact that they were sitting there waiting, watching, as if getting ready to celebrate the fact that the Twin Towers would topple.
You know, the first investigators on the scene, I saw the first police, and even the first FBI agents, didn't realize the scope of what happened. They thought maybe these guys put them cheering a fireworks display. But when the other investigators saw the model, saw the binoculars, and remembered that address and what it really meant to the first Trade Center bomb, that's when they said, we've got to grab everybody.
All right, Pablo. Thank you. Pablo Guzman.
Yeah, this is, that's just, and this is December 1st, 2015, that somebody put this up on YouTube. This is, I've seen this kind, you know, see, it's just, it's like when we were talking with Macy before, you know, when she had new 9/11 stuff, you know, with that, I'm going, they seed this stuff. I've seen this, okay, let me give you an example. In Thailand, where they have the underage sex brothels of the whatever, you got enough money and you're a pedophile, pervert, and God knows what. You go to Thailand and you kind of, well, what they would do, there was a book, it was called Race Against the Machine or something like that. And I remember the guy's name was Race Bannon, you know, his name he went by. And he was Interpol and got, you know, it's a long story. But the point was, is that in this Interpol sex trafficking thing, they came across what they would do is different politicians and powerful people and so on. That's why you have to be a pedophile to be a congressman kind of deal. It's because they need some leverage on you. Well, in Thailand, they just kind of camped out. They take pictures of in everybody that went in. Then in the Thai paper, local, news is this in Thai. You wouldn't be able to read it, and you'd have the name of some politician or somebody that went in. And it just sits there for a decade. Just sits there, and they pull it out when they need it. We need you to say this about that on the legislation of something or whatever, and we got this right here in your file says. Now, here's FBI files of whatever the Clintons had in the 90s on everybody and blah, blah, blah. So I have always, and what did you get out of this? Muslims on the roof, first trade center, second trade center, an architect graph of the, kind of a layout, 3D layout, binoculars, the same, I'm going... And Osama, picture up, it's like, this is, they go, we'll pluck this when it's, best for the plucking. I just feel manipulation. I mean, isn't that fortuitous that, a decade and a half later, which was with, and it's called, what's in the background, it's called America Rising, New Jersey 9/11. It just seems too contrived to me. I mean, not that it, it wouldn't surprise me, it could be true either way. I'm feeling manipulated, in my opinion. No opinion.
It's what happened. Trump, he's mentioned this stuff in the past, and others of my family back east, some people, they remember these stories as well.
Yeah.
And, they hide it. And of course, no one's, the liberal media is not talking about, just show this. Just show this. Trump says something. The immediate response is, oh my gosh. It's not the fact of, did that video exist? Can we find it? No. The immediate response is, did you hear what he said? How dare he say something controversial? You must apologize. You must apologize. And he was on the Alex Jones show recently, a very good interview, first one with Alex Jones recently. I give him credit. And both of them said, we don't apologize easily unless we're proven wrong. And here we go. Liberals, play that video. There you go.
I know that Trump had this said, go ahead, make my day.
Yep.
Set him up.
Here we go.
But it may have been it's meant to be set up.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. This is what we're going to do, the misguided missile, a GOP strategist's private advice on a Trump nomination. This is a 7-page confidential memo that Frank says he can read really fast. Okay, now Ward Baker it's from him. So who the heck is Ward Baker?
He's a senator and a senior staff senator. I guess sounds like basically Senator Baker, and he was asked, or I don't know if he did it on his own, whatever the deal is. But he wrote this letter to other senators to basically explain what are we going to do, God forbid, if Trump actually wins the nomination?
Okay, now let me do who he is. Ward Baker to run GOP Senate campaign arm. Ward Baker has been tapped. Pop-ups. Ward Baker has been tapped to be the next executive director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, three sources told Politico on Friday. Now, this was dated a year ago, this November 14th last year. Baker is currently political director and will succeed Bob Collins in the executive director post. Okay, so he is in charge. The deal has not been formalized yet. Baker is working out the final terms of the blah, blah, blah incoming. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell played a key role in Baker's selection. Oh, well, that tells me everything I need to know. Okay, so it's Mitch McConnell and friends, of which they, he was going to be, like, talking about him being speaker or something, and kind of the revolt. So these are...
This is the establishment.
The establishment.
This is the establishment, and this is what's so key. You know, I have not, despite doing the Trump report and the Rocky theme and all the rest, I have not officially endorsed Trump yet. But, you know, he is... My whole issue with Trump, remember, is taking on the establishment. There's three ways this is going to go. A, he's going to win. And if he is president, he will change things. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to change things the way that many of us listening would want him to do. We're not having that discussion right now. But I'm just saying he is going to change things. That includes wiping out, you know, all of the same players that the Democrats and Republicans keep putting in as far as cabinet members and everyone else. He will wipe them out. So he will certainly change for better or for worse. B is that he runs off the nomination and he loses, and probably he'll lose because of corruption. Unlike what happened to Rand Paul, Donald Trump will probably expose the corruption, which also is a win as far as taking on the establishment. Or thirdly, and I do not mean this in either disrespectfully or in a conspiracy or to be incendiary, but he gets assassinated. And many people are thinking that if he gets that close to the White House, they will not let him in. And if that happens, that also will expose the establishment for what they are. So either way, this is how and why I am kind of... This Trump report means a lot to me. But here's the letter, as much as I can read. And I know the cardinal sin of radio is reading, so I will try to make this palatable. But it's that important, I think, to understand the mindset of the establishment and why Trump is the anti-establishment. So here we go. Private letter to the senators. The place is Cleveland, Ohio. The date is July 21st, 2016. And Donald Trump has just accepted the nomination of the Republican Party to be nominee for president. Not since liberal Republican businessman Wendell Willkie won the GOP nomination in 1940 had another dark horse candidate stood as its nominee for president. And Willkie and Trump have a lot in common. Both were seen as fresh-faced outsiders. Each had the backing or received the promotion of major news media outlets, and both were outside of the established political order. Willkie would go on to lose to wartime President Franklin Roosevelt, but this time it's harder to predict an outcome because of the volatility of the electorate. Trump has risen because voters see him as authentic, independent, direct, firm, and by the way, they write this in italics, and believe he can't be bought. That's in italics from him, right? And they believe he can't be bought.
We got to know. The answer is always yes, just how much.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, this is so cynical even hearing these guys. All right, back to the letter. These are the same character traits our candidates should be advancing in 2016. That's Trump lesson number one. Let me reiterate it. This is what they're admitting. These are the same traits that we should be advancing. The fact that they're authentic, independent, direct, and can't be bought, right?
This should be.
I hope you guys have a barf bag here. We should prepare for 2016 by understanding the environment and recognizing the Trump phenomena. Right, this is coming from the establishment. They're trying to educate everyone to explain why you people, you little people out there, seem to like this Trump guy. Right, the following are, here's a list. The following are a series of recommendations to consider if Donald Trump, God forbid, is the GOP nominee in 2016. Here we go. Here's what you need to be doing, Ernie, in order to take on the Trump machine. Number one, Trump is a misguided missile. Let's face facts. Trump says what's on his mind, God forbid, and that's a problem. Our candidates will have to spend full time defending him or condemning him if that continues. And that's a place we never, ever want to be.
Oh, my God.
It is certain that all GOP candidates will be tied in some way to our nominee. And this is italic and underline. But we need not be tied to him so closely that we have to engage in permanent cleanup or distancing maneuvers.
Compared to which other GOP nominee?
I know. Guys,
McCain?
I know. I hope you guys, I hope you're all bent over by the toilet vomiting, because I don't blame you. Number two, run your own race. You're running for the U.S. Senate, so focus on that. Don't get drawn into every Trump statement and every Trump dust-up. Keep the focus on your own campaign and the voters back home. Number three, show your independence. This is from the establishment, mind you. As we know, Trump is subject to farcical fits. You can still obey the, quote, run your own campaign edict while still taking Trump to task on outrageous statements where the media won't let you off the hook. Choose opportunities to take the moral high ground while exerting your independence. Number three, remember the basics. Every campaign is about telling voters who you are, what you want to do, and why you're the best choice for the job. Turn your biography into a compelling narrative that shows you're one of them. Oh, I love this. Promote a new vision and own the future. Stake out new issues and turf or reframe issues so it has a new look to it. This allows you to separate from the national debate, promote issues you care about, and in a new manner. And it's harder for opponents to knock since you're offering a new vision. Change the look. This keeps getting worse. It's time to change the way you and your campaign are presented. Lose the suit and visit people in their homes and places of work. Hold sessions where you listen to people and capture audio and video of them discussing their real world problems. These little people, Ernie. People talk about problems. Bold point, not issues. So focus on the problems and offer your solutions. Avoid Washington speak, like talking about legislation, bills, and insider talk, in favor of Main Street common sense. In other words, be condescending. And tell your communications and media teams to up the vibe and change the look. You see, voters are onto you when you do the standard walk and talk through a business, school, or factory. Try a new look and have business owners, constituents, family members, and workers talk about you. Have them talk about a problem you solved, a solution you came up with, or a life-changing event. Feature them in your issue phase while assuming the role. Let me skip ahead a little bit. To accomplish the above, each campaign must line up the citizen narrators or storytellers now. Reveal your constituent files and find the old letters thanking you for solving a problem.
Ugh.
Next, get permission to use their story. Let me skip to something of interest here. It just keeps getting worse. They talk about consider doing some of the jobs the workers do in the machine shops, small businesses, and factories you visit. Have the employee show you what they do and then try to do it.
Oh, after you get the mandatory OSHA government training of it took you, you'll never get to do it.
Yeah, exactly. This changes the visual narrative, so it's more personal and engaging. Number five, understand the changing environment and recalibrate now. Recalibrate now. The Trump phenomenon exists because Washington politicians promise change but don't deliver. Your job is to deliver, in italics. In the past two cycles, it was easy to say, Washington's broken. But in 2016, you need to demonstrate that you'll rip up the rotten roots and begin anew.
Congress isn't in session? I mean, you know, go do it.
to get on the reformist wave, right? I mean, to get on the wave, right? We're not trying to change anything. You got to be on the wave. Advance clear-cut reforms that change the way Washington works. The best way to do this is to highlight reforms that you've previously advanced. Special note, consider visuals that communicate change and reform. Feature candidates working on an old engine, and note how sometimes you have to do a complete overhaul to get things working. Consider featuring a candidate in a field, ripping up a rotten tree stump so the field can be cleared and planning can be done. Anyway, I appreciate you not vomiting on the set here, Ernie.
No, my thing, I already see where this is going.
And there's four more pages,
we
guys, online.
We need to have a complete overhaul. We need a constitutional convention.
Yep.
You're going to be hearing about this a lot.
Yep.
I mean, they're already doing ads here on LRN. I mean, for the off now, which is a state. You know, they're going, yeah, no, it's not, Ernie. I'm going, man, I talked to Kelly Ward. This is how she was approached. Exactly this. This is the crowd that this is how. Donna, get Kelly
Ward
back on.
But the point is, the establishment's afraid of Trump. That's the key, too. Is that there is a split, and they are afraid of him for what it's worth.
And that's the point. It's how do they, you know, it's political judo. They're going to use it however they want to appear to be. Kelly Ward, hey. All right, fine. Get her on again.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Canaan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. Silver is trading at $14.03 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,055 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $362. And HowWar.com reports, though officials continue to insist President Obama intends to close the detention center at Guantanamo Bay at some point, he has reportedly rejected the latest Pentagon proposal to do so as too expensive to justify. The plan would have cost $600 million, $350 million of which was meant to build a new prison on U.S. soil, a figure the president believed was excessive. The plan would have saved $100 million in annual operations for running a prison inside the U.S. instead of the legal black hole at Guantanamo Bay. How the president would have come up with the $600 million, however, was unclear, as Congress has repeatedly barred spending any money on the transfer of prisoners or closing the facility. President Obama insisted such restrictions are counterproductive. When he took office in 2009, President Obama vowed to close Guantanamo Bay by the end of the year, though up to this point, he's made no serious efforts to do so. While he has blamed Congress, the opposition to the site's closure has mostly come in the past few years after Obama failed to deliver on the initial pledge. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports police on Wednesday afternoon engaged in a high-speed chase and gun battle with suspects believed to have been involved in an earlier attack on a social services facility in Southern California, according to officials and news reports. Hours after the shooting, authorities spotted three people riding inside a dark-colored SUV not far from the original crime scene and attempted to detain them. Following a high-speed chase, two suspects were shot, according to NBC News, who cited law enforcement officials. NBC Los Angeles reported two of the suspects were killed, but a third fugitive appears to be at large in a residential neighborhood where police brought in a canine unit and went from house to house searching for the perpetrator. More than a dozen people were shot dead and several others were wounded after the gunman opened fire inside the facility, located about 60 miles east of the Los Angeles area around 11 a.m. local. San Bernardino Police Chief Jared Bergwan said at a news conference that as many as three gunmen entered the facility and began shooting people inside. More than a dozen people were killed, and police representatives said the injured toll was 17, 10 of whom they said were critically wounded. When her plush and comfy life suddenly and unexpectedly fell apart, Brooke and her dog Cloud set out to defy the odds. If this is a man's world, as they say, living on the streets is no place for a young woman. One day she awoke in the Redwood Forest and realized she had become a hobo and would ultimately come to know exactly what it means to survive. How to Be a Hobo by Brooke Willett is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores. Reuters reports a Texas state agency sued the U.S. State Department, a relief agency, and others in federal court on Wednesday seeking to block the resettlement of Syrian refugees in the state just ahead of a plan to bring a new group of Syrians within a week. The International Rescue Committee is set to relocate two Syrian refugee families to Texas in the coming days, despite a threat from state officials that such a move would be reckless and met with a cut in funding for the agency. The Texas Health and Human Services Commission sued, asking the U.S. District Court in Dallas for an immediate restraining order and a hearing by December 9th for an injunction that would prevent resettlement. It is also asking that refugees not be resettled until then. The suit named U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, the U.S. State Department, and others as defendants. Texas is seeking an injunction to halt the resettlement because the state contends the defendants are violating their statutory duty to consult with the state in advance of placing refugees in Texas. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said, "The point of this lawsuit is not about specific refugees. It's about protecting Texans by ensuring that the federal government fulfills its obligation to properly vet the refugees and cooperate and consult with the state." This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
in actual America is overweight and hopelessly in debt. And the Richie Rich comic strip introduces a new, even gayer character. As if you needed another reason to remain in your isolated and socially degenerative cocoon, this is the Onion Week in Review, Comics Edition. Sources confirmed Tuesday that the Comic Book and Sci-Fi Expo Comic-Con was once again marred by BullyCon, an increasingly popular event held in the same convention space. Now in its fifth year, BullyCon reportedly drew more than 125,000 tormentors from across the nation, all of whom were bent on beating up and torturing those attending the many comic book, television, and movie panels at Comic-Con.
When this got started, it was just a couple of friends who wanted to beat the shit out of some Joss Whedon fans, but now there are thousands of us ruining Walking Dead panels, taunting Harry Potter nerds, and really making some video gamers' lives completely miserable. I don't necessarily need to travel to San Diego to slap a copy of Spider-Man out of some pussy's hands, but something really special about coming together with people who dig the same sort of cruelty you do.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. Don't talk about it. You know, bring it up. Bring it up. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on like Donkey Kong. Okay. Here on Freedom's Phoenix, it's Trump Report Thursday with Dr. Frank Tamburi, and he started reading the seven-page memo. Oh, my God. But there's a lot of good stuff in there, and he's kind of trying to speed it up and skip over. No skipping. Damn it. It's got to be the whole thing or don't. So when you started to skip, start off there. Let's get it all into the record, man. Go.
So, all right. So, just guys, know. So, just for the next hour, it looks like we're gonna be finishing this letter for the Trump Report, which really exposes quite a bit. We're doing the last hour for those of you that are just joining us now. It's a letter from the Senate, the Senate committee to other senators. It was an inside memo no one was supposed to have read, talking about what happens if Donald Trump wins
the nomination. This is a Senate Republican re-election guy of incumbents. You get re-elected because you need to get re-elected.
But the point we're reading this, which is, as I said before, the cardinal sin you never want to read on the radio, but we're making an exception here because there's some talking points from us on this. One is it shows, first of all, how Republicans really communicate and think. How condescending do they really feel about their voters? Which, for this audience, trust me, it's no surprise. But it also shows, the machinations or the lack of being in touch truly with the people. And also truly shows the division of the establishment. And Ernie and I have argued on the air a number of times. I think he's coming around, guys, a little bit to the point that there is an establishment, that there is a fight. And I'm seeing this break down on Fox News. That's why I bring up Fox, not because I'm a Fox junkie.
It's just competing wings of the establishment. Well, but the thing is, left wing, right wing is a bird of prey. That's what it is.
The establishment has basically sequestered away this so-called revolution Tea Party movement that Ron Paul helped basically start. And it's been squashed by the establishment, by people like John Boehner, and people didn't understand what was happening. And Fox News never explained it. Now they are. Now the establishment wing is being described and put down. Now, of course, John Boehner got kicked out. Donald Trump is making his moves. This is a true revolution and movement that is an extension of the Ron Paul movement through the Tea Party, now taking out the establishment. And this letter is basically describing the establishment's view of it. And the kicker is you still see how they're still lost. They still don't quite get it. They're talking to their own establishment senators saying, all right, guys, this is what's going on with this Trump thing. I know we don't quite understand it, but this is what's happening. happened. You know what this is? This is just what happened with the Ron Paul deal. Because the Republicans are all trying to explain to other Republicans who this Ron Paul guy is. You know, they thought they understood why people like Ron Paul. They assumed that they understood it. And they didn't. And that's why Ron Paul kept coming back, When I spoke at the Republican committee here in Arizona, and you guys helped me with that. It was years ago before before I hung up on the show here. You know, I spoke to like hundreds of Republicans, and I said, in between the campaigns, I said, you guys, I don't care for Ron Paul. Maybe, you know, the voters don't care for you. But you guys need to understand, as the diehard Republican, you know, precinct committeemen and all, you need to understand who this guy is. You may not agree with him, but you need to understand who he is and why people follow him. Because if you don't understand him, you're not going to understand when he comes back. Because if you think he's done, that was a one-shot deal, he's coming back in 2012. And they didn't believe it because they didn't understand the anger that was brewing. That's what this letter is. People, they don't understand why Trump is doing.
They're all about being on the winning side.
Winning side. That's all and they've turned about. Their brain off about why people are. So anyway, that's what's unique about it. So I'll continue reading, but it's very revealing and
shows their fear. He could have been done this segment, so maybe we'll go into the next one.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, it was worth it.
The whole thing, man. Got to do it.
All right, here we go. Special note. Let's see. Talking about consider visuals that communicate change and reform. Feature candidates working on old engine. Okay, we talked about that. All right. Post a reform tab on your website and feature stories of real world reforms that can change Washington.
What the hell they been doing?
Be sure to feature reformers.
Contract on America.
Oh,
again.
By the way, be sure to feature reformers like Ernie Hancock in your videos on your YouTube channel and in social media. You know, they have to teach them what social media is. Promote tweets that push reforms or condemn Washington's dysfunction. The time to build the case against Washington, parenthesis, even if you were part of it. Oh, listen to that. The time to build the case against Washington, even if you were part of it, is now. Not in the final 3 months of the election. They're even admitting that they're the problem.
Keep going.
Finally, call on citizens to post their own reform recommendations and then select the best of the lot.
Best of the lot to what? Make a bill?
This quote, bottom-up method, unquote, allows you to say that the reforms are from regular citizens.
God, who are these people?
You guys should just hire me. You know, I'll give you... You guys are missing the boat here. Post the best ideas, promote discussions on your social platforms, and discuss them on your YouTube channel, talk radio, podcasts, and TV appearances. Special note, always bring the campaign back home to real people and their daily struggle. The Trump Show... They call it the Trump Show. The Trump Show may be going on, but back home, our families are in a fight for their livelihoods. Keep your narrative on them, not the national scene. Tell stories of citizens overcoming obstacles and succeeding. Yeah, like Donald Trump is, actually. Sell optimism. Promote hope. Story-based messaging allows you to plow new ground and own the field. Number 7, where the heck I'm up to. Trump can hit the right chord. We may not like it, but Trump is connected with voters on issues.
Yeah.
I can't handle this.
Billionaires are my best friends, man.
Listen. They're saying, we may not like it, but God forbid, you know, a Republican can communicate and connect with voters on issues. And he's a billionaire, and he's connecting more than they are. Right?
Supermodel wives.
So,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. He's connecting more than our elected officials.
Connecting.
We may not like it, but Trump is connected with voters on issues like trade with China and America's broken borders. When Trump was criticized on building a wall to stop immigration, he noted how Israel successfully built walls that were cost-effective and did the job. Trump will continue to advance those messages, but you don't have to go along with his more extreme positioning. Instead, you should stake out turf in the same issue zone and offer your own ideas.
That's kinder, gentler Rubio, whatever.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, take lessons from Rubio. Target China on industrial espionage. That's what they're saying. They're saying right here. Forget about the petrodollar and about how the Federal Reserve works and how they're buying up gold. No, target China on industrial espionage.
Yeah, as the IMF brings in the yuan into the reserve currency.
Exactly. China's the enemy.
These guys are, they don't understand the fundamental role of government.
They're
digging their own hole they're not going to be able to get out of.
This shows, though, that deep inside, they honestly still don't even understand the point.
Not a freaking clue.
Hit China. Here we go. Hit China on its cyber war against the U.S. government. Focus on China breaking existing trade rules and using Chinese government intervention to create an unfair advantage. Here's a bunch of Republicans talking about unfair, right?
On American Lives Matter, hashtag.
On immigration, select areas where reform can be done and should be done. One example is better tracking of those who violate their tourist visa. Governor Christie, I'm sure they're plugging here, Governor Christie recently noted that 40% of those in our country illegally overstayed their visas. This is a highly correctable matter and a reform that should be promoted. So, see, and he's part establishment. Select some common sense and doable reforms. One last. Trump and women. Houston, we have a problem. Donald Trump has said some wacky things about women. Candidates shouldn't go near this ground other than to say that your wife or daughter is offended by what Trump said.
Oh, the women love it.
We do not want to re-engage the war on women. Fight so isolate Trump on this issue by offering a quick condemnation of it.
More, we come back.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go,
70 degrees.
Let it sunshine.
I feel guilty.
I know. We're like, they were going to go. My daughter and son-in-law, his brother was visiting from Houston, and they were going to go up to Flagstaff playing the snow Monday. And then they found out all melted. There's no snow. They went, well, that kind of sucked, you know? So they took all the winter clothes and the thermals and whatever for all the little kids back. They just couldn't use it because they knew they'd outgrow them in a week anyway. Mm-hmm. So they just took them back. They didn't wear them. So I'm going, oh, that kind of sucked. So it's Arizona. Get over it. No. All right. Now, we got some Rand stuff to go over, and we'll go till we're done. But I need you to go ahead and finish
the letter. Right, yeah. By the way, we finished that last part was Trump and women. They said, Houston, we have a problem. There's so much to comment on all this, but the last part of that one section of it says, we do not want to reengage the war on women fight, so isolate Trump on this issue by offering a quick condemnation of it. You know, what's interesting about that is, what's frustrating is that by them writing this, and now, of course, the media has it, it is showing that the Republicans they're claiming to admit that there has been a war on women. There really hasn't. It's the Democrats have trumped this thing up to make it seem like, you know, they're all anti-woman. But I know.
For Hillary because there's Trump. Of course, and all the women, you know, real women, I need a man. And there's
There's Carly Fiorina, but of course she doesn't count as a woman. It's always a disclaimer, you know. Ben Carson, well, he's not really black. And Carly Fiorina, well, she's not really a woman. And Bobby Jindal, well, he's not really Indian. And you know, like every person, oh, well, you know, you've got Cruz and Rubio. They're both Cuban. You know, they're Hispanic. Well, they're not really Hispanic. I mean, as I've said on the show before, there's more diversity on the Republican side than there is on the liberals. You know, they still want to say that, you know, there's a sexist, racist component. Anyway, next, Trump. Here we go. Here's the Republicans claiming they understand why Trump is rising and a problem. Trump rises because people understand him. Trump is saying that the emperor has no clothes, and he challenges our politically correct times.
He challenges in the fine government's penis. Look, it doesn't have one.
I mean there is. They're saying right here that he challenges our politically correct times. Man. I mean, they're saying, okay, he challenges our politically correct times, like the one above about Trump and women, right? I mean, he's challenging that. So they're basically contradicting their own point about what
this
Trump is.
I gotta mention here. What I'm thinking of is that, you know, the emperor has no clothes thing. Mm. Who is this appealing to? I mean, the people, they know. They're just, it's just a bunch of eunuchs running around, you know, waving their hands, ouch-quitted all the time, being victims. Somebody wants somebody to not be a victim. Trump comes out as not being a victim. America won't be a victim anymore. At least we won't be a victim. We'll be buttheads and stupid and doing whatever, and I may not agree. I don't care.
Right.
But the thing is that at least we won't be a victim.
It's self-empowerment, and that's sort of what he's trying to bring back to people. So, like I said, Trump is saying the emperor has no clothes and challenges politically correct times. Our candidates shouldn't miss this point. Don't insult key voter cohorts by ignoring that America has significant problems and that Trump is offering some basic solutions. Understand the populist points Trump makes and ride that wave, baby. That's what it says.
God, they don't. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Yeah. Not even Rand. We'll get into Rand in a little bit.
Yeah, and a baby I added, but that's pretty much why how you're reading this. Next. The last two points are, we can't afford to depress the GOP vote. Spending full time attacking our own nominee will ensure that the GOP vote is depressed. That will only serve to topple GOP candidates at every level.
Like they care.
Maintain the right amount of independence, but avoid piling on the nominee. And then lastly, this is the most telling of all of them. After all this, Houston, we have a problem, and Trump, I mean, hopefully he's not going to win, all this kind of crap. Well, then we get to the last one, covering the Trump bet. Conventional wisdom has counted Trump out on several occasions. Not me, by the way.
Who's conventional wisdom?
I said this publicly from day one.
I wonder who this conventional wisdom guy is.
Everyone told me I was wrong. They still don't get it. Conventional wisdom has counted Trump out on several occasions. But Trump continues to rise, and the criticisms seem to make him stronger.
Damn, Skippy. So counterpunch.
I'm telling you, that Rocky theme works. Trump has been gaining Democrat adherence. Like I said again, Trump has been gaining Democrat adherence, and he's solidifying GOP cohorts who feel they've been totally ignored by the Washington ruling class. And that, by the way, was in capitals, Washington ruling class. If the environment aligns properly, Trump could win. This is amazing hearing them actually say this. It's not a bet most people would place now, but it could happen. That's why it's important for our candidates to run their own races, limit the Trump criticisms, in parentheses, other than obvious free kicks.
Define a free kick. They think they had a lot of free kicks, and it backfired.
And grab onto the best elements of the anti-Washington populist agenda. Last thing says,
take your tie off and go in somebody's living room and learn how to shovel some manure or something.
Mm-hmm. And at the very end, the Dakota here, this memo is written under the assumption that Donald Trump wins the nomination. We don't have a crystal ball, but in 1940, few were predicting that an Indiana businessman with New York connections would win the Republican nomination for president of the United States. Done.
God. What does that tell you about the now keep in mind, where is this coming from? Ward Baker or whatever. He is the head, I think he is a senator or congressman or something. He is head of the committee. I didn't even know these positions existed. I mean, I always assumed they did, but I didn't know they came out of the Senate. It's the party structure, the national committee kind of thing, and it's of the incumbents to keep incumbents there. They make all kinds of deals of who gets support and doesn't. You got to play ball with the big machine or there, or you get out and you're not in the club anymore. This is how this works. You get in with the club or you get beat with the club. And you watch House of Cards with Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, and you get how this, you know, how this really works. You can see, well, obviously, make it a movie or a TV show. Well, obviously, that's what they do. That's how they do it, and that's how they're doing it. And they have this guy, Ward, comes in, and he says, all right, we need to get reelected. How are we going to get reelected? What's going on? Where's the electorate out there? We're at the end of 15. We're getting into where we're just, 11 months away. It's in less than a year. Here comes the election. What you be doing now? And as they're talking about, we're gonna reform and we need, I go, what the hell? You don't vote now? I mean, what the hell are you doing? Why are you there? I mean, if you, all right. Now I'm gonna tell you what's going on here with Rand. Now, Mark Victor, good friend, he's in, man. I'm getting invitations to his Christmas party or whatever.
Oh, great guy.
Now they, he's like, Mark and I are good friends. We've been doing this a long time, but he's getting a little Rand Kool-Aid, okay? And it's any kind of hedges a little bit on his endorsement stuff. Well, you know, he's the best that we. Now, where were all these guys when Ron was around? In 2008-2012, you know, you and I were going, look, guys, man, you know, this is it. Now they're all,
they weren't supporting Ron as much.
No,
really, I didn't know that.
No, they were like, I'm going, you guys don't get it, man.
Now they do, right?
Well, they were supportive of the philosophy, and they thought it was kind of cool. And it's kind of, yeah, but it's voting, and but now it's kind of a different flavor. Well, there's an article about the difference between Rand and Ron. And then he's coming a week from this coming Monday here. We'll talk about it.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading on Thursday, gold is up $5 at $1,059 per ounce. Silver is 8 cents higher at $14.16 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $361. We still have plenty of 2015 U.S. Mint silver and gold Eagle coins available at these low prices. Give Robertson Roberts a call today at 800-874-9760 or shop online at rrbi.co.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. We're sitting here yakking, contemplating the salvation of the universe. Okay, this is what's going on with the Rand thing. A lot of the guys that I know that I went through this in 2008, I go to these meetings and groups, the boys. And heavily involved in politics, spend a bunch of money, and I'm the poor guy there that, does stuff, the activist. So as time goes on, after 20 years or so, it's like, hey, Ernie, get freedom in the show and kind of come over and talk and do and take our position, and we get a nice big giant feather in our cap, we get you on board of the whatever. And I'm like, where the hell were you guys during the Levolution? I'm like, what? What? I remember. And one thing that I really, really, really like is I have shows, every single word out of my mouth, all the graphics, the videos, the talk, the interviews, everything from those times. I get, and when they don't record, I go, whoa, everybody, listen, remember what so-and-so just said. Okay, I just remember, you guys remember, y'all on board, y'all go down, you taking notes, I mean, are you getting it? Then it starts becoming more political, and I can see what's happening. They were one of the bundlers, as a guy, they raise a bunch of money for Rand and so on, and they, create and have these different events, and they, get the, people to show up and give their $500,000, whatever, it's a big play to something, and I'm like, I'm not interested. You get the secret plan of, I don't give a crap. The secret plan doesn't involve him saying, this stuff his father did from the podium, what the hell I want him up there for? Oh, well, it's a politicking of whatever. I so don't freaking care. They do not understand what's going over. It's like the same guys with the Trump thing. They don't it's inside of the machine. We got to do the machine. Oh, you got to do the machine. I don't give a crap. So here we have, I just read to you the there's an article, and it's called The Difference Between Rand Paul and Ron Paul. And it's all these guys, they're Rand's older brother. Rand and Ron are the same. Judge Napolitano, they're the same. Gary Johnson, is glad he's there. And then it gets to this paragraph. The real difference between Rand Paul and Ron Paul is their political strategy. Ron Paul is ideologically libertarian and politically idealistic. Rand Paul is ideologically libertarian as well, but he's politically realistic. One, what the hell does that mean? It's playing politics. I'm not into playing politics. I don't, fine. You think that's going to, knock yourself out. Don't care. Because why? Because I'm not playing politics. This is an ideological battle. It is education. It's how many minds can you free? It doesn't matter if you're politically realistic if the people don't know what the hell you're there for. So I'm going, hey, you, even if you win, you don't win. You don't get support. You'll never get anything done. The people have to demand this. This is a time. You know, the time is, I'd say, Trump is doing it. You know, he's got people going, but it's not a freedom liberty thing. It's just a, you know, jingoistic, you know, rhetoric of freaking I'm not them. Rand is playing politically realistic to seem as if he's them. How's that working out? Yeah. You know, I mean, seriously, I'm just going to, it's so obvious what's going on. And they just, oh man, he just pissed me off. So here Mark is inviting people to go to this event. Now they, I said, look, I never gave a dime to Ron Paul. You want my endorsement? My endorsement got in there whipping ass. That's what I do. You take your little $500, go meet you. I don't give a crap. I get to be in the special, get a phone call if I do $500,000 or something. Hell, I spent that much, you know, three times that much just getting ready for the freaking doing the sign campaign. It's time to go. You want to go, whoo! So when he comes on the Monday, December 14th, we just might have a place to put some signs up and some cards out and everything. Feel me?
That's your contribution.
Yeah, that's my contribution. God, they just don't freaking get it. So, hi all, this is from Mark. I've been informed that Rand Paul is willing to personally call and invite you to the fundraising event I'm co-hosting in Phoenix on December 14th. I have attached the invitation. If you have not yet received it, if you are serious about coming to the event on the 14th and donating to Rand's campaign, let me know and I will attempt to arrange a private call for you with Rand. The only thing I want to hear from Rand is, yep, the secret is I'm going to start saying it from the podium. I don't care. Wait,
additionally, do we don't have the secret yet?
I don't care.
We still have the secret.
I don't care. Additionally, here is a link to an interesting article about Rand and Ron discussing their libertarian views. Rand is currently the best play we have, whatever that means, at the moment to advance the cause of liberty. He is trying to change hearts and minds for freedom. That is what needs to happen. Well, you don't do it from keeping the secret plan of I'm not saying it. You know, we're going to be politically expedient, politically, you know, ideological, political, something political. Don't care. Don't freaking care. So I'm doing something else. It's going to be an education thing. We'll be pushing. I will spend as much time as I did on the revolution doing more about, you know, promoting Ron Paul's curriculum than I will any freaking politician. It boggles the freaking mind. And they had this on a silver platter, and they just whizzed it away. And they're thinking that, well, we're going to be the popular last man standing against what? Trump? You know, and you're going to you beat him with what? Principle? Freedom's the answer? What's the question? They didn't get it. They go, you know, his father is ideological, where Rand is practical. They're the same. He's different, you know? And I'm so that's my opinion. What do you got on Rand?
Well, I was just enjoying that, you know.
It so pisses me off,
man. I know. You know,
you don't understand.
I agree.
Come over here. You can be in the club. You know, this club that you ignored and beat us over the head with, of the club that, you know, not the establishment, you kind of making fun of, kind of, we want to invite you in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you stupid? I just want to back. I mean, I go, the best thing I can do for you is shut up. Just ignore. Don't worry. I would do my own thing. Just leave me alone. Don't try. And I mean, from all points that wouldn't have anything to do with his father, all of a sudden they're all in with Rand now because they're doing it correctly. The political, the inside the machine, where everything else was totally outside the machine. And the only reason, it wasn't because Ron didn't try. His guys and Republicans, mm-hmm. they were doing the inside of that. The people just didn't freaking care. It bypassed the whole. They go, yeah, you're confusing us with somebody gives a crap. How many delegates? Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. go through the process and learn how screwed up it is, but whatever. We're putting up signs anyway. To the point, in Des Moines, Iowa, one of the activists, we took him to New Hampshire with us because they kicked him out of the meetup. They kicked him out of one of the best activists that they had because he wouldn't stop putting signs up. And the Republican Party freaked in Des Moines,
you know,
Iowa.
You know, a question for you. I'm curious. You know, the problem they have is they don't realize this fire of Prometheus that they have, and it wants to just burn. It wants to explode. It's like a genie in the
bottle.
They
don't want it to explode.
And exactly.
It's a threat.
They keep putting the cork in the bottle. And with Ron Paul, they saw what was happening, and now they keep trying. It's almost, it reminds me of, remember it was the Warner Brothers with Daffy Duck, and there was that genie or something, and the genie and Daffy Duck was jumping on the genie, stuffing him into the bottle. Down, down, down. He's like trying to push him back. That's what's going on. That genie was the Ron Paul movement. It was delegates. They didn't care about being delegates.
From the beginning, people, I could see what the problem
was. And they kept pushing
him down. If they couldn't control it, they didn't want it to happen.
Right.
We do not want to have, you know, activism is like, you know, it's like fire. It's a powerful tool, but a fearful master. They don't want the fire out there uncontrolled.
Well, I'm curious. There's people, I mean, there's names out there we can mention, but I'm curious. Look, you and I obviously were supporters of the campaign, Ron Paul. And then after the first campaign,
I didn't give a crap about his campaign. What are you saying at the podium?
At the first one when he basically stopped and did not go to convention, it was crestfallen.
Damn.
People got really ticked. He lost a lot of supporters.
I had a 20-minute conversation with Ron the day before that happened. Wednesday, he did it Thursday. Wednesday night, he was communicating with his head guys, estates, or whatever. And I, 20 minutes before, you know, like half hour before he had that conversation, I got him on the phone. I just was asked to call him and give my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm going, don't do this. I just want you to know, if you do this, you know, you're not going to have the same support that you did in the future, and you kind of whatever.
Which is my point. So he lost a lot, including investors that you and I know, who said, you got burnt the first time, not doing it again. So then a lot of us, though, we said, all right, maybe we'll go for round two, which is the 2012. And then we got...
Which is a different crowd.
Right. Well, kind of. Well, I mean, I was in both, and a lot of people got crestfallen big time when Rand, you know, jumped ship at the last minute after taking our money. Now, here's the Rand Paul. I'm curious, do you think it's the same people? I mean, obviously, Mark Victor wasn't there before, now he is. Do you find that they're all new supporters for Rand, or are they same Ron Paul people converted?
Nah, it's pretty new. Or a different politico GOP play the game, give me a position type.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back. We're going to play a clip. You know, this rant, what are we listening to?
So this is basically a 3-minute, 3.5-minute thing from NPR, and it's an NPR piece about why Rand Paul is not inheriting Ron Paul's crowds and his campaign. So, A, it's kind of what we're discussing, but it's also fascinating to hear perspectives from other groups, in this case, the liberal perspective of why Rand is not working.
All right, so push the button. And
libertarians are playing a smaller role in the presidential campaign than last time around. During the 2012 Republican race, huge rallies supported a longtime libertarian favorite.
Congressman Ron Paul.
This year, Ron Paul's son Rand Paul is running, but it hasn't been easy to build on his father's support. NPR's Sarah McCammon explores why.
Compared to 4 years ago, the crowds chanting President Paul are much smaller now.
President Paul! President Paul!
At an event near Iowa State University last month, Senator Rand Paul was defending his foreign policy, which often breaks with more hawkish Republicans. Paul had to explain that being a libertarian doesn't have to mean being an isolationist.
Most isolationists sort of like want to build a wall around the country and not interact with the rest of the world. Trade is a big part of being part of the world, and I'm for trading with the rest of the world.
I'm for diplomatic engagement.
In Des Moines, longtime Paul supporter, 27-year-old Adil Khan, says Paul's approach still makes sense. He blames U.S. military involvement in the Middle East for the rise of groups like ISIS.
You can take out bad, but after it, there could be something that's worse. Because if we didn't go into Iraq, we wouldn't have a lot of this mess we have today.
But that's not the dominant view in the Republican race right now, especially since the Paris attacks. Florida Senator Marco Rubio used the issue to take aim at two of his opponents during a recent forum hosted by the Wall Street Journal.
At least two of my colleagues in the Senate aspiring to the presidency, Senator Cruz in particular, have voted to weaken the U.S. intelligence programs.
Rubio didn't even name the other Republican hopeful who voted against domestic surveillance of phone records, Rand Paul. He's barely registering in the polls, even in Iowa, where his father made a strong third-place showing 4 years ago by harnessing the youthful energy of the Liberty Movement.
There you go.
Well, not that youthful. This is 7-month-old Judah Curtinitis. His parents, Kelsey and Joel Curtinitis, met through their work for Ron Paul's Iowa campaign.
We would not have met if it weren't for Ron Paul, and this little guy, Judah, here wouldn't be here.
So you might think they're all in for Rand Paul, but not so fast. Joel Curtinitis says he still believes in the small government ideals of the Liberty Movement, but he thinks Rand has tried too hard to appeal to mainstream Republicans.
I think Rand's missed a lot of opportunities because he's chosen in some ways to water down his message in order to go for that election appeal that he was convinced he needed to win.
Curtinitis says Rand Paul has been too cozy with establishment Republicans like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Paul also has fallen out of favor with some libertarians for supporting increases in military spending. Joel and Kelsey Curtinitis are now backing Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Cruz is surging, challenging political outsiders like Donald Trump and Ben Carson. GOP strategist Matt Strawn says they're harnessing a lot of the energy that was behind Ron Paul last time.
I called it in, 2012, as I would encounter some of these individuals around the state, that it was really the rage against the machine vote.
Strawn is a former Republican Party of Iowa chairman. He was forced out in 2012, and eventually supporters of Ron Paul gained control of the state party for a time.
They didn't want anything to do with the political class, the political establishment. They wanted to burn it down and figure out how to build it up later.
4 years later, there are even more Republican voters who want to burn the system down. And unfortunately for Rand Paul, there are lots of bigger personalities promising they'll do just that.
Yes.
Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
That's exactly
Washington.
What's going on. This is the one thing that happened. I remember April 18th, 19th, I think, 20th, whatever. It's in April of 08, they had the meeting in Washington. They invited, me and some others, Michael Nystrom from Daily Paul and Trevor Longman. I was just sitting there. I probably haven't relayed this to you guys because I always remembered this phrase. It came from Mike Duggar when it applied to the parties and all that kind of stuff. And it was such a perfect opportunity for me to make this statement. They go, "We can save the Republican Party." And I go, who the hell said that was my goal? I'm looking to put a wooden stake in its chest. I would kill the vampire, man. Who the hell wants to save this thing? Save what? So this is the mentality and the rhetoric. They go, we can save it. But, and one, you're assuming, I think there's a difference between that and any other political whatever the hell, who cares? So I'm they're missing it. There's going to be, and Trump tapped into it, and it could have so easily been Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he wouldn't have gotten the support of this committee, blah, 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 for his Kentucky Senate race. Because the Trump thing of the Kentucky Senate race and so on, that was mailed straight to just, Mr. Rand Paul also running for Kentucky. And I don't think there's a Democrat that's put up a candidate, for the Democratic nomination even for U.S. Senate in Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't know.
So they're doing this, yeah. And what they did is they changed the law to where it's done in convention, right. So it's not done in an election, so he can run for president also, because you can't be on the ballot for both, but you can be appointed by the party, blah, 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 LBJ crap. All I am just so, that because what's the goal? To be in the machine, to change the machine from inside the machine of we're going to save the machine. They're missing it.
Yeah, but that was Ron Paul's idea as well, though.
Remember, not the Ron people Paul. That supported him.
No, yeah, it was. I mean, Ron Paul's the one.
Maybe you, not me.
No, he was the one. What's the whole campaign for liberty? That was Ron Paul saying, how do you become a precinct committeeman? That was the point. How do you think Ron Paul made as far as he did? It was the activism of people that were and did infiltrate the Republican Party, got delegates. That's where we keep
to
having
keep
this,
him
this argument.
On the podium.
Right.
That's what it was all about.
But if those people
why do I want to keep Rand on the podium if he's not going to say it?
Right, but at the same time, you can't get them on the podium unless you have activists that are part of the system. All and Ron Paul supported
well,
that.
Well, he doesn't have either
Paul,
of them.
But Ron Paul...
Rand doesn't have either of them
But
now.
Ron Paul supported it as well. Don't think of it as that Ron Paul was against the machine and said not to be involved. He needed the involvement. He supported it, for God's
sake.
There
was room for both. Because Ron goes like this. He says, you want to change, you got to get inside, you got to get, you remember these days, I didn't discourage anybody, you need to go see the sausage being
absolutely.
Made.
Absolutely, I agree.
You guys go, let me know how that works out. By the time it hit 2012, all these guys like John Lurie, Matt Papke, and a lot of the new people that are all amped up and then, you know, excited and doing Inside the Machine and Campaign for Liberty, all that, they didn't come until 12, okay? They were like 10, after the 08 thing that went, it was cool, it was hip, it was great. It was happening. These are the guys, the good guys over here. They're the good guy that came out being the good guy. They're good guys. We should have, hey, don't blame me. I voted Ron Paul kind of bumper sticker mentality. And I'm going, I blame you. Where were you? Were you in the street? Were you bitching? You whining? Are you doing? Now, oh, it's going to be a more kinder, gentler, or more aggressive inside the system campaign. We're going to take this money and this effort and we're going to parlay it in the 12. And then in the 16. And it got less each time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, they're like, well, where else are you going to go? What are you going to do? How about none? How about voluntarist? I'm just leave me alone.
I was saying now, basically, leave me alone like you. Others are going to Ted Cruz, as you just heard. Others are going Donald Trump. You know, I mean, I may or may not myself. I mean, that's what's happened. That whole movement's been splintered into different components.
It's just a dissatisfaction without a focus.
Mm-hmm.
From the podium, you had a focus. We just march in, we march out. Proper role of government. I have a none page IRS thing. I want to replace it with nothing. I want, you know, end the Fed, you know, shit, just ignore them. I mean, you know, I'm just, it's all this rhetoric that got ingrained, they abandoned. You know, and I'm going, what the hell do you think? They go, we would have won if we didn't have all this really hardcore rhetoric. And I'm going, you would have had
nothing.
Hundreds of millions of dollars less in money and effort had you not had that hard rhetoric. And you just a limit because you're playing freaking politics. I don't play politics.
You know, it's interesting to have next year or next month, 2016. Think about it. This whole Ron Paul movement began 2008, 16. I mean, it's like we're coming almost like an anniversary in a couple of years. It'll be 10 years. So 8 years since this whole thing started for many people. It's interesting to see the narrative. It's a shame that Ron Paul movie's not being made, you know, to see the narrative.
Yeah, that would have been. It's not done yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not done yet. You know, we were started last January. You know, the anniversary for this 8 years was last January. Remember, by this time, we're getting ready to go to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
We were in New Hampshire, Des Moines, and kind of all over in a freaking world record snowfall putting up signs. What are we doing now?
Yep. Hey, guys, we are at Culver's getting ready to get a really nutritious dinner here in Iowa, and they told me I'm supposed to read mean tweets. So I'm going to read some mean tweets. At Olivia Nunzi tweets, at Rand Paul, is dressed like Sporty Spock. And you know what my first thought was? That's really not that mean. I thought that was a compliment. Spock, he's a really cool dude. At Joe Bananen tweets, at Rand Paul, talk about hairstyle. Rand, that looks like a bucket of French grease on his head. Now that is mean, and I want to see your hair, Joe, if you've got any. At the Madison Show tweets, at Rand Paul's hair looks like ramen noodles. I guess that's an insult, and I'll just accept it. Donald Trump, who put Donald Trump in this thing? At Real Donald Trump tweets, watching Rand Paul for the entire day, I would say that'd be one of the lowest ranked shows in history. Well, we'll just see, won't we, Donald? They also tell me, because I'm just doing what I'm told, riding around Iowa, looking at cornfields and answering silly questions, that I'm now supposed to answer the top Googled questions about me. The first question is, how tall is Rand Paul? And it's 5'8", but I do look a lot taller on TV. The next question is, how old is Rand Paul? The answer is, or the real answer, I guess, is 52, but I sometimes feel about 10 to 20 to maybe 30 to 40 to 50 years older after a day of this. The third question, most popular question from Google is Rand Paul still running for president? And I don't know, wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So yes, I still am running for president. Get over it. Where is Rand Paul in the polls? This is not live. We can't edit this, right? All right. Where is Rand Paul in the polls? It depends on which polls you look at. I'm still kicking Hillary Clinton's butt. If we look at my polls versus Hillary Clinton, I'm still beating her in five states won by President Obama. So watch out. All right. What does Rand Paul stand for and why he is the best candidate? Well, I think, first of all, because I have the best hair, and everybody must be jealous of it with all the insults. But I would say I make the best candidate because I incorporate the best of both the right and the left. And I think really a lot of the problems we've got are that the right and left, unfortunately, have come together to spend too much money, and that's why we have this big debt. I'm the only one, really, that would actually fix the problem. All right, is Rand Paul libertarian? I often say I'm libertarian-ish, and the only one who is perfectly libertarian is yourself. So we do have a lot of folks who think they are the keeper of the perfect libertarianism. What I would say is I'm pretty darn libertarian, probably the most libertarian in the race, or easily the most libertarian in the race. What party is Rand Paul? Republican, but pretty ecumenical in my... I guess criticism of the faults of both parties. And where am I from? I was born in Pittsburgh, raised in Texas, and am proudly representing Kentucky, where I've spent my adult life and working career. One other question. Oh, am I a physician? Yes. I went to Duke Medical School, spent a year doing general surgery in Atlanta, went back and finished my medical training at Duke Medical School in ophthalmology, and often still am able to travel around the world doing pro bono eye surgery. Thanks for watching.